So today we're in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Imagine, if you can, putting yourself into the situation where you have been living essentially the same lifestyle for 40 years in tents, in wandering in this wilderness. In fact, you were born into this. And you hear all these great stories about how God has God rescued your parents and grandparents out of Egypt, and you heard stories of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and this place called Israel, the land of Israel, and this was a promised land, and you have absolutely no frame of reference other than what your parents have told you. And your parents are all, you know, they're getting old and they're dying, and life just seems to be, you know, picking up camp again this week and moving somewhere else, and, you know, and this is your life. And then you come to the edge of this promised land, and Moses, who has been leading you for your whole life, he dies, and Joshua, his right hand man, now takes control, and he's leading the people. He's in charge of the nation, and so you. You come and you camp at this place, and your leaders get up and they tell you this. Well, it's Joshua 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. If there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length, do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. So follow the priests, but keep your distance. You don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to get ahead of the priests." And then Joshua stands up and he says to the people, "Consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves." Some translations say purify yourself or cleanse yourself. "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The Lord will do wonders among you. God is wanting to do something fantastic with his people. And they're there on the banks of the Jordan River. And remember, for 40 years these people have wandered in the wilderness. They were raised there. They've been there. It's been their home. They've been homeless their whole life. And the generation before them has died out, except for Joshua and Caleb. And I was joking. I think with John, we were talking about how would you like to have been the last person of that Egyptian generation? And you're the only one alive of that generation. And everyone is looking at you, waiting for you to die so we can enter the promised land. Come on! You know? Let's go for a walk. I have something to show you. Up on that cliff. Everyone wants you to die so that they can enter. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? And so here they are, this huge, momentous occasion. Finally, here they are at the banks of the Jordan River. And on the other side is this place that you've been hearing about your whole life, the promised land. This is the land that God had vowed to Abraham and his descendants forever. But first, before we do that, we have to consecrate ourselves. We have to purify ourselves. We have to cleanse ourselves. It's almost like we have to wash away the wilderness that we've been living in. We have to put away that nomad lifestyle. We have to separate ourselves from the past. We have to consecrate ourselves. I've been thinking about the coast lately. Is it time for a trip to the coast? I'm thinking I need to take a day trip over to the coast. Come on, who's with me?
They got sneaker waves and giant...
Yeah, I'll watch out for them. They don't scare me.
As long as you can set something on fire.
No one wants to go. I'll go by myself. Consecrate yourself. And God still, today, God still desires to do wondrous things among his people. God still desires to be active and present and working in your life today, just as he was back then. He still wants to do amazing and incredible things. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is basic Christianity, the Christianity 101. This is early stuff about living this life of faith and how we are to separate ourselves from the sin in our lives and how we need to get rid of it. And yet so often time and life and the devil, we just... our minds get polluted and plugged up. And we think we're doing okay. We think we're walking the way we should when really we've veered off. And so this is a reminder that we need to purify ourselves. We need to consecrate ourselves on a regular basis. And so we review... we re-examine our hearts and our lives, and we repent. Someone once said, your potential is determined by your purity. Your potential is determined by your purity. Your potential for God to move powerfully in your life is determined by your willingness to be honest and humble before God, and to purify yourself. If your motives are pure, then there's nothing. If your motives are pure, there is nothing that God can't do through you. Instead of focusing all our energy on living the lives that we want, maybe we need to focus on purifying ourselves. After all, that's how God prepares us. You want to be used by God? Purify yourself. You want the favor of God? Purify yourself. You want to experience the power of God in your life? Purify yourself. You want to see God do wonders? Purify yourself. But we can only go so far in purifying ourselves. If we could purify ourselves totally, we wouldn't need the cross. we wouldn't need Jesus. It starts with Jesus. It starts on the cross. God can purify you. When I had shingles a year ago, almost a year ago, man, that was a year. It left one spot. Right in the middle of my back. That one spot that I can't reach. One spot where there's just a small bundle of nerves that just is, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't itch, but it's just kind of a twingy kind of feel. And sometimes I gotta just find a corner and back up against it and rub, you know, like a bear on a tree or something. And it just annoys me sometimes. But just like I can't scratch every area, I can't purify myself. I can't cleanse my heart. I can modify my behavior. I can change my habits. I can, you know, watch my language. By the way, that's something that I've been noticing recently, is that a lot of Christians are getting freer with using the F word. What's with that? Is that suddenly that okay? Did I miss something? Did God now sanctify that word? And it's just come up a lot recently in conversations with believers. And I'm thinking, I missed the memo. I'll have to start working it into sermons or something. We won't be recording that, but what's, you know, but that just tells me we need to consecrate ourselves. Watch your language. It's still wrong, right? It's still impure. It's still rude and crude. It starts with the heart, though. It starts with the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus tells us that. Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, starting at verse 11, the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Jesus died so that we may be pure. But we have to partner with the work of Christ and get rid of the filthy language and get rid of the habits and get rid of the ungodly attitudes. That's our responsibility. That's something we are supposed to do. And the great thing is that God says, you start the work and I'll help you finish it. I'll give you the power to renounce the sin in your life. But you can't renounce the sin in your life when you're embracing it. You can't hug Jesus and sin at the same time. It doesn't work. It all starts with repentance. We're familiar with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's going to do it. He is just. It's right for him to do it. It's proper for him to do it. He has the authority to do it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession. Confession is agreeing with God that we have sinned. It's saying, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. I'm dirt. I need forgiveness. Confession is spiritual cleansing. It's the start of spiritual cleansing. Purity is a deep cleaning. It involves going into the deep recesses of your heart, of your mind, of your attitudes. The secret places that you won't let anyone else in. You have to look in the mirror for a long time. And that's not an easy thing to do. The mirror of God's Word, the mirror of the Holy Spirit, asking God, show me where I'm ugly. I tried to give myself a haircut this morning. I'm not sure it's even. Trimmed up my beard and it looked like a weed whacker went out. It was like, and I just, after a half hour looking at the mirror, I'm like, I can't stand it anymore. I gotta take a break. But we gotta look into the mirror and see ourselves as we really, truly are, as God sees us. Not the way we see ourselves, because we can fool ourselves, right? We're pretty good at fooling ourselves. We need to ask God to show us what we truly look like. James chapter 1, starting at 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious, saved, Christians, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. And their religion is worthless. Ouch. But if we make purity our goal, if we seek to have a pure heart before God, God will do wonderful things. This is the biblical pattern that we see. And this probably means we'll go through some painful things. Purifying always involves dramatic changes. I think of the way fire is used in the purification process of metals. People have been saying, John, you need a hobby. Yeah, I do. And I've been seeing, you know, these little forges what are they called? Little foundries. Smelters. You put metal in. That looks cool to me. And you see the impurities in the metal come out, but that metal has to go through intense heat in order to get the impurities out. And then it goes over to the blacksmith and Gina just pounds the heck out of it and makes something beautiful out of it and useful. And that's what God wants to do with us. But he's got to heat us up. Got to get the impurities out. Got to pound us around a little bit. And then God does wonderful and amazing things. The way you prepare yourself for the wonders that God wants to do tomorrow is by purifying and consecrating yourself today. James goes on to say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this great call that you have placed on our life. This demand that we be pure, consecrated to you. For Lord, that's the only way that you can truly use us. And thank you, God, that you do not leave that task to us. But you do the hard work. You did the hard work on Calvary. Oh, Lord Jesus, there you suffered and died and shed your blood that we might be forgiven, that we might be pure. Oh, God, how can we live, how can we embrace sin when we consider the cross, when we consider your grace and your love? How can we continue to hold anger and bitterness in our hearts? How can we continue to hate our brother, our sister, when you have done all things to make us pure and holy? God, help us to look intently into that mirror, the mirror of your scriptures, the mirror of the Holy Ghost, and look deep in our hearts, Lord. Maybe even in those places that we don't even want to face. Lord, would you go deep into our minds and root out the wrong thinking, the stinking thinking, those thoughts that keep us from you. Oh God, would you do this great change in our lives that we may bring you honor and glory. I pray, Lord God, for each one here, that you would be speaking to their hearts and their lives this coming week. God, I pray that they would be looking to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you make all this possible, and that it is your desire for each and every one of us. And that you long to do wonderful and powerful things in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless our fellowship, bless our meal and our time together as we share this meal. And we lift this all before you with grateful hands. And we pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things. Tomorrow's Monday. Great things happen on Monday. Right? Right? Alrighty. Table is open.